The word of the Lord, which we set our hearts to this morning, is taken from Jonah chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 5 and then verse 10. We read, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened." This is the word of the Lord. So we are continuing on this series of watching on the walk with Jesus, and we're looking at just different examples from a survey of Jesus' entire life, his entire ministry, a short survey of Jesus' entire ministry. And the word that we're looking at today is commit. Right? And we see that in the way that Jesus came to these men who were fishermen, and he asked them to follow him, and they just up and left. Right, they left their job, they left their family, they left their security, and they just followed Jesus. They committed to that, and that's something that might be a little bit hard to relate to, especially when you think of how we fail. Right, even at committing to maybe New Year's resolutions, a majority of us fail within the first few weeks. Right, we fail at committing to God, we fall away, and we sin, and so we're going to look at Jonah, and see here. Maybe someone we can relate to a little bit better, to this prophet and how he wasn't committed from the start. So our text, it tells us this. It tells us that as the Lord came to Jonah and told him to go to Nineveh, it says that Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. You see, we learn that Nineveh, this capital city of Assyria, it was an enormous city, possibly one of the biggest cities in the entire world at this time. It took 3 days to go through it. We're not sure what that means, if it means to 3 days to actually walk around it or to go through the city. It's a little bit ambiguous, but it was a huge city. And these Assyrians were the enemies of God's people Israel. And so God, his plan is to lay siege to this city of Nineveh. But because this city was so huge, so enormous, and no army could do that, God couldn't use the army of Israel to lay siege to Nineveh because it was so big, no army could lay siege to the city. So God decides to go to this city and lay siege to Nineveh with an army of one, with this renegade prophet Jonah, and with a terrible five-word sermon. You should all be so lucky, a five-word sermon, huh? So here we see Jonah doing what God asks, and we see an amazing result. We see this entire city, their hearts are turned. They change. How does that happen? How did God accomplish this? How did he change the hearts of this entire city? How did he change Jonah's heart around? How does God change our hearts around? Those are the questions we're going to look at this morning as we walk through just this life of Jonah. And we're going to just see what it is that causes us to commit the way that Jonah committed, the way that these Ninevites committed, the way these disciples of Jesus committed. What is it that causes us to commit like that? We're going to look at three things. As you heard Pastor Burgess mention, we're going to look at a purpose bigger than ourselves. We need direction higher than ourselves, and we need forgiveness from someone other than ourselves. So those are the three points we're going to look at this morning. A little background to our text, as I mentioned, in the beginning of the book of Jonah, God did come to Jonah. So we're starting here with chapter 3, and in chapter 1, God comes to Jonah, and he tells him, get up and go to Nineveh. And he asks Jonah to go to basically the enemies of Israel, because the Assyrians at this time, God had prophesied that he was going to use them to discipline and to punish the Israelite nation for turning away from the Lord. So the Assyrians, they're the enemies of God, and God tells Jonah, the prophet of the Lord, to go to this city and preach his message, to show love, to show forgiveness. So God tells Jonah, get up and go, and Jonah, he gets up and he goes in the exact opposite direction of Nineveh in the beginning of Jonah. He heads to Tarshish, right, which most commentators say this is a city that is the furthest away in the direction opposite of Nineveh. It is like towards the end of the known world. That's where Jonah is heading. He's heading as far away from Nineveh and as far away from God as he possibly can. So what changed between Jonah 1, where he gets up and he heads off in the opposite direction, and Jonah 3, where Jonah gets up and he obeys the word of the Lord? What changed? Well, God disciplined Jonah, as you know, and maybe you remember he was in a belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. Jonah repented. God forgave Jonah for his sins. And Jonah ultimately realized that he couldn't live for himself alone. He realized that God was bigger than him, and he couldn't go against God. You know, when people live for themselves alone, generally speaking, it doesn't turn out very well. Dorothy Sayers, she's kind of a famous Christian writer. She once wrote this. She said, "The sin of our times is the sin that believes in nothing, cares for nothing, seeks to know nothing, interferes with nothing, enjoys nothing, hates nothing, finds purpose in nothing, lives for nothing, and remains alive because there is nothing for which it will die." In other words, Dorothy Sayers is saying here that the biggest problem and sin of our generation is right there at the end, not being committed to anything other than yourself. Right, being wholly committed to yourself and nothing else, thinking that there is nothing in this world that is bigger than my own needs or my own interests. That is the biggest sin of our generation, as Dorothy Sayers says. And the ironic thing is that when you do that, when you live entirely for yourself, you find less and less purpose in this world. Now, what does that mean? Well, let me explain. In Maslow's hierarchy of needs, he says that we all have basic needs as human beings, right? And he starts out with the basic needs of physical needs, right? So food and water and clothing and safety. But after those needs are met, human beings, we need more than that. We need our emotional needs and our fulfillment needs, our esteem needs met. So what he's basically saying is that after your physical needs are met, what we all need is to feel like we serve a purpose. We need to feel like we're important, that we're actually accomplishing something in this world. And when you only live for yourself, you aren't accomplishing anything in this world. You aren't serving a greater purpose. When you make yourself the top priority in this world and you only serve yourself, eventually you'll learn that the world doesn't need you. Now that is a depressing feeling indeed. And that's what we see here. We see that Jonah and you and me, we need a purpose bigger than ourselves. It's almost like Maslow in his discovering these needs, he's really discovering the way that God designed us. And we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. We all need a purpose bigger than just ourselves. And so God comes calling. He comes calling to Jonah, and he gives Jonah some very specific instructions when he comes to him to go to the Assyrians, these enemies of Israel, and to share a message of love and forgiveness with them. Jonah needed these very specific instructions, and that's what we need as well. We need these kinds of specific instructions. We see God come and give those instructions to Jonah. You see, Jonah, backing up in the book of Jonah, at the end of chapter 2, Jonah had just spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish. And it as soon as chapter 3 begins, God sends Jonah on a mission. Right? So this is the very last verse of Jonah chapter 2. "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." And then the very next verse, the very first verse of chapter 3, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." You know, God, he didn't waste time. Right? As Jonah was there on the seashore, I can imagine him just cleaning all of these fish juices off of himself. God comes to Jonah, and he doesn't say, "You know, Jonah, You've been through a minor ordeal here. We should maybe give you a moment or two to collect yourself. No, he comes to Jonah as he is there, rinsing himself off, and he says, it is time to go. It is time to get to work. Go to Nineveh. Go to the Assyrians. Jonah needed that direction. Because had it come to him, had it been up to him, he never would have thought of that. He never would have thought of going to the enemies of Israel, and he never would have done it. Jonah needed that higher direction from the Lord, and that's what we all need. We ultimately all need a direction higher than ourselves. And that's what God gives to us. We see that from the very beginning of the world. After God created Adam and Eve, he gave them very specific directions and a very specific purpose. Genesis 1:28 says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God came to Adam and Eve after he created them and immediately gave them a direction. He created them as the crown of his creation, and he created them to care for his creation. Not to put themselves first, but to care for the creatures that God placed in this world, to care for his world. Had God not given them that direction, they would have had to figure out what to do all on their own. At the end of the movie iRobot, I know it's maybe 10, 12 years old or so, there's this phrase, this little interaction that always catches my attention. It always stuck with me. This robot, Sonny, this artificial intelligence robot, at the end of the movie, he says, now that I've fulfilled my purpose, I don't know what to do. And Will Smith, the main character, Detective Spooner, he says, I guess you'll have to find your own way like the rest of us, Sonny. That is the attitude of our world, isn't it? That it is up to us to figure out our own way. It is up to us to figure out our own direction, our own purpose, our own meaning in this world. It is entirely up to us to figure this all out on our own. But that is not the way that God designed us. That's not the way that God created us. He created us and he gave us a purpose and a design and a direction from the onset. In the book that the church council we're working through, Man Up, the author, he directly addresses this. He says this, the Creator's dominion, God's rule, it isn't exploitative. He doesn't create in order to take advantage of his creation or to use his creatures or created objects for his own good. So then Adam's dominion, standing in the place of the Creator, is not exploitative. Adam's dominion exists for the good of others. That is the purpose. That is the direction in which God has created us and designed in us and given to us. But Jonah, he had other things in mind, didn't he? He was going to do what he wanted. He was going to give himself his own directions. He was going to find his own way and his own purpose in this world. That's how human beings have been ever since God created us and we fell into sin. Ever since we fell into sin, Adam and Eve fell into sin, the world has tried to find its own way, to find its own direction and own purpose, and it has only led to more and more wickedness and sinfulness and a further distancing from our God and our Creator. So let me ask you then, where do you find your direction in this world? Where do you find your purpose? When it comes to your relationships and how you deal with your family, your spouse, your children, your parents, your friends, when it comes to the conflict that is going to come into those relationships because of sin, where do you find your direction? Do you try to find your own way and figure it out for yourself? Or do you look to your God who has already given you direction? When it comes to the place where God has made you a lord and a master and a king, to your own dominion, when it comes to your home, when it comes to the things that God has given you, your time, your money, your resources, your hobbies, when it comes to those things, do you decide, I'm going to do things my way, or again, do you look to God for direction. In the end, do you see that when you look to yourself, it only leads to pain and destruction? You and me and Jonah and Frank Sinatra, we all sing a similar tune, don't we? I did it my way. And in the end, that tune leads to self-destruction, and it leads to us growing farther and farther apart from the God who created us and designed us. Like Jonah, at times, we run in the opposite direction of God. And that, friends, is why we also need forgiveness. In order to be committed to God, we need to know that He has forgiven us. And that is something that God immediately and without hesitation gave to Jonah. After Jonah was saved by God's grace as he was on that dry ground, after spending 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish, God came to him again, and He doesn't say, "Now, Jonah, remember what you've just learned here. Remember how you turned away from me, how you disobeyed me." Right? God doesn't point out Jonah's sin. No, He forgave him immediately, and his mind was already again on the mission. His mind was already on the Assyrians and the people who were in need. And so He sends Jonah without reminding him of his sin. And the same thing happens as God sends Jonah to the Ninevites, to these Assyrians. As soon as they repented after Jonah preaches this terrible sermon, as soon as they repented, it says that God immediately offered them forgiveness, right? It says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He relented and did not bring on them the destruction He had threatened. No further need was there to point out their sins. God didn't wait for the Ninevites to fall down and wait 40 more days until all those 40 days were up. He didn't make them wait all 40 days. No, immediately He forgave them and granted them forgiveness. Why? Because that is what God wanted all along. He wanted for Jonah and you and me and for the Ninevites to simply turn to Him and live. That is God's desire for all of us. And we know that because that's the very reason that He came into this world, isn't it? God didn't create this world to exploit it, to use us for His own pleasure. God created in order to serve. He created in order to take care of us. He created us in order to do what is best for us. And we know that because when we tore the world apart with wickedness and with our own sinfulness, God sent His Son into the world to repair that, to heal us, to forgive us. We see that especially as Jesus goes to the cross. Immediate forgiveness was granted as those men were nailing Jesus to the cross. Jesus didn't cry out, "Wait till judgment day when I am going to lay out all of your sins for the world to see. You are in for a world of hurt." No, instead Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." Immediate forgiveness was granted for these sinners. That forgiveness that Jesus granted to those men is the same forgiveness that He has granted to Jonah and to the Ninevites, and to you and to me. That forgiveness is ours already now and always. And friends, because of that, we can commit to the Lord, because we know He is completely committed to you and me. And knowing that our God is completely committed to us, let me just close with one encouragement for you. Notice where it is that God sent Jonah. God didn't send Jonah out into the wilderness. He didn't send Jonah up to the mountains to preach to the plants and the wild animals. He didn't send Jonah to the fish in the sea or the birds in the air. He sent Jonah to the city. He sent Jonah to people. As we walk with Jesus, as we watch on the walk with Jesus, notice where Jesus' heart goes. See where Jesus goes and see where Jesus sends his messengers. It's to people. It's to people like you and me. So friends in Christ, here's my encouragement. Turn your gaze off of yourself and turn it toward the city. Turn it toward people turn it toward a world in need. Do that because God, He has given you a purpose bigger than yourself. He's given you direction higher than yourself. And He's given you a forgiveness that you can never give to yourself. Praise the Lord that He is 100% committed to you. Amen.